Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Hey, I'm Shauna Compton-Game. This is Millennium Money, and today we're wrapping up our MBA story week with two recent grads, Sue and Arshia. They are awesome women who just won the Forte Foundation Power Pitch Competition. They're talking all about how to launch a business while getting their MBA and building successful careers. And I also got them to share a few money tips that they've learned along the way.
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton Game. It will expand your brain.
All right, so I am so excited to have you both join me today on the podcast. We have heard from two different amazing MBA grads thus far. And what I love about your story, each of you, is that you are recent grads. So we've got, you know, kind of we're covering the spectrum here. So I'd love if each of you would just introduce yourselves and maybe if you could sum up the MBA journey in one word, what would it be for each of you?
Sue, do you want to start?
I knew you threw me on the bus. So hello, everyone. I'm Sue. Quick introduction about myself. I went to Northwestern University for my undergrad and got my degree in psych and legal studies. Worked in a couple different areas before business school, mostly in the business area, but kind of got into it by luck and really liked it, but really found that I didn't have the business experience and the background that a lot of my coworkers had and that I really wanted. So went to Northwestern's rival, University of Chicago, to get my MBA, really get that foundation and that business background so that I could be more successful. For me, it was the best decision that I could have made for myself and the best confidence builder that I could have asked for.
Ooh, I love that. All right. Next.
Yeah, so I guess I could talk. So I'm Arshia. I never thought that I would be going to business school. I actually thought that I was going to go to medical school. So I went to the University of Chicago for my undergrad, studied endocrinology, and then worked at a health IT firm for 3 years. And sort of when I was doing that, I realized that I had to make some decisions in my life on like personal and professional decisions because I knew that I wanted to run my own hospital. And I didn't know if going to medical school and getting an MD would then allow me to practice medicine and be a hospital manager at the same time. So decided to go to business school. I wasn't really sure what I wanted. I knew I wanted to be within healthcare. And I loved my experience there. I think if I had to summarize it in one word, I would say that it was really eye-opening. It just taught me a lot.
And how do you guys feel about, I should say girls, I always say guys, and then I always feel bad when I'm talking to girls, but you get where I'm going here. How do you feel that the MBA has prepared you as a female out in the workforce? Do you feel like it's given you, you know, an edge that maybe you wouldn't have had you not gotten it?
So I think, and Sue and I talked about this a little bit before, taping, is that I think for us, the MBA was really teaching us about confidence and opportunity. So I think for both of us, well, maybe I shouldn't talk for you, Sue, but definitely for me, I just didn't know what my options out there for. And I definitely see myself as a go-getter, but I didn't know concretely how to be a go-getter. So what I mean by that is that I think in the MBA, you spend so much of your time trying to figure out, like, what is your next job? Or, like, where do you want to go? What are your options? And you have to learn to talk to a lot of people, right?
Sure.
So pre-MBA, I don't think I would have just thought about, like, hey, like, this person seems awesome. I read an article by them. Or, hey, I just ran into this person at a conference and they seem great. I don't think I would have gone to that person and been like, can we chat for 10 minutes or can I have 15 minutes of your time? I'll grab you coffee. Just want to hear about you. And the MBA sort of taught me that, like, if you want something, you have to cultivate it and you have to go get it. And it gave me the confidence to say, like, it's not weird to do that. I think people appreciate that. Nobody minds if you take 10 minutes of their time. And they're really willing to help you and talk.
So for me, the edge that it gave me is this one step prior to Arshia's, is that business school helped clarify for me what I want to be doing with my career, you know, what area I want to be involved with, and what my aspirations really were. So I think the edge that I feel like I have going into my next career is that I'm very crystal clear on, like, one day I want to be in the C-suite, one day I want to be leading my own company. And so to have that straightforward vision and that clarity, I think, makes me, you know, work a little bit harder and, like, not get bothered by the things that are going on the sideline and just try to run towards what I know my end point is now.
Yeah, I love that. That's awesome. And you girls were winners of the Forte Foundation 2017 Power Pitch Competition, which, congratulations.
Thank you.
I would love if you could share a little bit about that, what your pitch was, and kind of walk us through the process of actually winning.
Yeah, wow. So we could give you a little background, actually, on our company and then our pitch itself. So University of Chicago has a great entrepreneurial program. What it offers is we have the new venture challenge, which is essentially like a business plan competition / incubator for students who have a business idea. Mm-hmm. You apply with your idea and you get a quarter to just really
work on it, develop it,
get access mm-hmm. to the resources of the university, but also our great professors and the relationships that they have. And then at the end of it, you pitch similarly in a competition. So we thought of our idea through that. So we're four women. We are developing an at-home self-collection device for cervical cancer screening. So essentially, when women get pap smears, you know, the old school way is that your gynecologist or your primary care provider uses a speculum to look up your cervix, scrape some cells, and then looks at those cells under a microscope to see if there's any abnormalities. at the same time, what they can do now is look at those cells and see if it has the HPV DNA, which is a precursor for cervical cancer, which is what the Pap smear is essentially looking for.
Yeah. So just like think about it as like a HPV DNA test gives it, it detects for the virus that causes cancer. In a traditional Pap smear, you're looking to see have you already gotten abnormalities showing the presence of cancer?
Yeah. And so, and then through, you know, building our idea and doing our research, we found that there was a lot of studies out there that show that you could find those HPV DNA cells without actually doing the invasive Pap smear itself. Some studies had used tampons, some had used pads, some had used douches and menstrual pads.
Yeah, vaginal swabs, all of it out there.
So we developed a device that was female friendly, that women know how to use. We like to say it's like a tampon app. Like a tampon or a tampon applicator. And so essentially, you know, we applied for the Power Pitch competition and we were fortunate enough to be one of the finalists and we were really excited. And so when we were invited to Seattle, that this our company is what we pitched.
Yeah. I think for us, what was really interesting pitching at 4-Day was that up until that point, typically when you pitch, you're typically pitching to male investors and your audience is like split between, right? So it was funny because when we were preparing for this, Sue and I were like, oh my God, we have to rewrite our script because you can't pitch it the same way.
Yeah.
Because your audience is totally different, right? Like we used to go through like talking about like what's the the trauma associated with getting a Pap smear, right? Like how inconvenient it is.
Or like even during one of our practice pitches, one of our one of the judges that were helping us were, he's a male. He was just like, I don't see what the issue is with this.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
What the inconvenience is of Pap smears.
Smears, right.
And we're like, that's kind of fair, but at the same time, it's like a very old school process. And
right.
It's not as efficient or as convenient as women's health could or should be.
Right.
So that was kind of the feedback that we got when we were pitching to male investors or male judges or our male peers. And so to go in front of an audience of women we didn't have to explain that this is an inconvenience.
Right. And I think like one of the things we sort of like had to think about was like, as women, like, and you look at your audience, right? We just assume that, like, hey, this is working, right? Like, a Pap smear gets the job done. Mm-hmm. It screens you for cervical cancer. But you have to think about, like, how can you change women's health? Like, just because something exists and it does the job doesn't mean that you shouldn't invest in something better. And that's sort of, like, how we had to think about shifting our conversation itself.
How did you actually come up with the idea?
That's actually a really funny story. So the four, there's four
women starting
four
the company.
Women starting the company. The four of us were actually co-chairs of the healthcare group at Booth. We had known each other since the first year of business school, all getting to know each other because we were interested in healthcare and pursuing that after school. We knew we wanted to work together as the four of us. And we honestly just batted around a few ideas. We're like, we knew we wanted to do something in healthcare and change that. And then we're like, what sucks in women's health?
Like, imagine us literally sitting in a conference room and, like, whiteboarding out. Like, tell us all the things that suck. Like, being a woman in health. And, like,
Pap smears came up immediately. I said, like, a bunch of other things.
And we had to iterate. Like, initially, we were like, well, let's revolutionize, like, the tampon industry, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, had to switch from there to, like, what else can we do? Where is there recent science.
Right. You're also like mammogram, but that's something that we didn't have experience in. So we're like, we know that it sucks, but we also have not gone one ourselves. So it's hard for us to fix that when we don't.
Yeah.
When we can't relate to it ourselves. And so we thought about Pap smears. One of our co-founders earned her PhD in human genetics. So this the HPV DNA was something that she was a little bit familiar with and was like, you know what, let me research this a little. Let me get back to you guys. I think I have an idea on how we could, you know, bring this more and make it more convenient.
Yeah.
And so that's where we started. And we were like, this feels a little promising. And we started researching. We started talking to people. We started talking to our professors. We actually went to a park in Chicago and talked to women.
Just like literally walked to a park and we're like, ask women about their Pap smears. Yeah, I think both of us can probably talk about Pap smears with talk about basically anyone about anything, because after you talk about a person's Pap smears, you're like, let's go. What do you want to talk about?
I love that. So this is actually a company that you guys are moving forward with, correct?
Yeah, so we took it through the Booth's New Venture Challenge. We placed fifth, which we were really excited about, and earned a little bit of funding through that. The Forte Foundation Pitch Competition, we were also really fortunate enough to do well in that and earn a little bit of money through that as well. And honestly, just being in those couple competitions has opened up a lot of resources for us.
Yeah.
So we are trying to move it forward the best that we can. And, you know, right now
we're learning a lot.
Yes.
So we're just figuring out, like, we have a prototype, but we're trying to test it and functionalize it and finalize it. And then we obviously have to protect our product. So we're sort of figuring out what's the best way to do that and learning what it means to be entrepreneurs in the process.
Yeah, I love that. So, you know, in this process, obviously, you know, getting your MBA and then launching a business and dealing with, you know, kind of startup financing, you know, how have you been able to balance your own personal finances through this? How are there any lessons maybe that you've learned along the way?
So I think that for us, we have a very limited amount of money that we have to play with.
Given that we just finished our MBA.
So I think we've had to be very strategic and tactical with how we have to, like, spend company money. I think the other thing that came out of that is, like, we are working on this startup sort of on the side. Like, we were committed to jobs after our MBA, so we have to figure out a way to, like, pay our bills so that we can work on this and sort of bring it to fruition. So, like, that's sort of the juggle that we've been trying to figure out how to work with and balance our time and our very limited time appropriately.
Yeah, absolutely. I understand. I started a business, my first business I was in college when I started it. And I know all too well kind of how that juggling act goes. But what I found was that it was kind of the best practical way to take what you learned, you know, in your MBA. I mean, I really call it like my real life MBA because, you know, you're really just, you're having to learn everything so super fast. And, you know, it's all different areas. It's not just one particular area. You know, it's PR, it's marketing, it's, you know, it's fundraising, it's, you know, business plan making. I mean, it's like everything, you know, all at once, which is just such great experience that I think, you know, you can take into anything you do.
In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in "Talkin' Money" under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters, and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout-friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/etm to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/etm. I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family, and you want to do the best for them. But vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/etm. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/etm. That's monarchmoney.com/etm for your extended 30-day free trial.
We've all spent more time with family lately. It can feel like old times, but your mind is on the future too, and what you can do to shape it. At Sandy Spring Bank, we work with clients to help them grow and protect their money, with wealth management, trust services, and insurance, so they can enjoy today and ultimately pass along their wealth. We believe real banking is a conversation. Let's talk about your dreams. Visit sandyspringbank.com/wealth. Wealth and insurance products are not FDIC insured, not guaranteed, and may lose value.
I mean, absolutely. I think now when I like, it sounds so crazy, but like when I see a business that I think is interesting, I immediately think about like, well, how do the operations work? Mm-hmm. And like, what are they doing for like marketing? What are they doing for customer discovery? How do they figure out that this is going to, you know what I mean? Like the littlest things, like now I just like question, because we've had to do those questions, right?
Yeah, it's actually like, to your point, it's, I felt like it was such a great experience to bring together everything we wanted to learn in business school and everything we did learn, because in building a business, you have to think about everything. And then for me, like when I was going through it, I was like, all right, here are the things I think we need to think about to build our business. And then realize there was, after that, there were like 100 more things. And then after that, there were 100 more things. And I was like, oh my gosh. And it was, I think like our co-founders and I, we say this all the time, is like, in trying to build it during that incubator time, during that competition, it was very much like drinking from a fire hose. And I feel like I've said that before, and I've heard other people say it before, and I was like, this is the first time where I felt like I truly believe that that's what I'm experiencing.
Yeah, I think it's like, and it's funny because I felt like with the doing this sort of competition, NVC, you hear a lot of things in business school, right? Like you hear about things like the team really matters and roles really matter and you have to figure out like processes very well, and you don't quite get that until I think you're working in your own business and you're like, oh my god, all those things that like sort of sounded obvious, like they really matter, and like you don't really get that until you're in the weeds and you're like, man,
well, even if you think about like pre-MBA, like in our jobs, or like post-MBA going into a traditional career, you do think about some of those things, but I feel like in starting your own company, like it smacks you right in the face.
Right. You have no choice but to learn.
You have no choice. Whereas like at a normal job, you could probably avoid it a little.
Right.
But like you see like how the processes work and like you're like, yeah, we need to fix that. But at the same time, it may not be your responsibility. Whereas like when you're starting your own business, like it is 100% your responsibility.
Yeah. I think you put it really well. Like I never thought about it as like, it's like my, it was my MBA.
Yeah.
It really was my MBA in action.
Absolutely. So true.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about the Forte Foundation. You know, besides the Power Pitch competition, like how have they really helped you in your journey, you know, as an MBA and now getting out into your own career? And basically starting a business at the same time.
Yeah. So I think, so Sue can probably, so my path into my MBA was a little bit more untraditional. So I actually didn't know about the Forte Foundation until we did the Power Pitch competition. And honestly, I was really disappointed with myself because they've been a really incredible resource. I mean, we went to the conference and it gives a lot of prospective MBAs a framework to think about how you should approach your MBA, which having... It's funny because we went to it at the end of my MBA and I was like, oh my God, if I had had that, I think I would have approached my MBA a little bit differently, or I might have been a little bit more thoughtful. And they just have such good resources of meeting other people there. And then on a more personal note for our company, it was really great to our, I mean, our audience members are the people that we're targeting, right? Like it's these women that we want to see, like would they use our product? Do they think it's a really good idea? And it was really great at the end of the pitch to have women come up to us and be like, this is a great idea. I would love to use it. Like, how can I help? Could we be like in your testing team? Like, it was great to have that validity and give us that confidence that like you're working on something that actually matters.
Yeah, so, I love
that. For me, I actually knew a Forte Foundation before I went to business school and leveraged the resources before I went to business school. So I was first exposed to Forte when I was thinking about business school. I was still working and I had not planned to go to business school. Like I mentioned before, like through luck had ended up in some business positions and felt a little at a disadvantage because of my undergrad degrees. And so while I was researching schools, I found that the Forte Foundation was hosting some events in the Chicago area where I was living. And so I actually went to some of them and was able to learn a lot. They brought in panelists, women who had already graduated and earned their MBAs, who had, you know, amazing careers and from different schools. And so we were able to learn from them, like how they thought about their experience before getting their MBA, why they got their MBA, what their experiences were like getting their MBA, and what opportunities it provided them. So for me, Forte Foundation very much made me realize that I wanted to get my MBA. It got me very excited about it. And it introduced me to women that I very much admired. And I was like, I want to be you one day. Mm-hmm. And it really motivated me to apply and go to school.
Yeah. I mean, we talked a little bit earlier about like connecting with people at the Forte, at like connecting people in general through your MBA, but at the Forte competition, even our judges, like all of them offered to help us out with our business and we could reach them, you know, reach out to them and use them as resources. So like, it was helpful just to be able to see like, wow, there's an entire community and network out there that's willing and happy to support you.
Yeah. And that's rare. And I think such a great kind of jewel to find, people who are like sincerely willing to help you move an idea forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so last question, you know, now that you've graduated, you're kind of going out into the workforce, what's maybe one piece of advice you would offer, you know, somebody else who's thinking about getting an MBA? What should they think about before maybe making that decision?
Ooh, that's a good question. There's like so many things to think about. Let's see. I'm trying to think of what's the one thing I would tell somebody? I think one of the things I sort of learned was that before I got, so I got into business school when I was still in college and decided sort of last minute to go. So I didn't actually know what I wanted out of my MBA. And I think what is really helpful is to come into your MBA with an open mind and have a roadmap, like some roadmap of where you want to go and what you want out of your MBA, even if that's not what you stick to. Because I think it'll really help you understand what's really important in your MBA experience and what is it that you really want to invest your time in. Because day one of your MBA, you're going to be pulled in so many different directions. Like there will be academics and recruiting and social stuff. And like it is helpful to think about what is it that I want to walk out of my MBA with and use that as a guidepost for your 2 years there.
I think, so for me, when folks ask me that question, I try to phrase it as like, for me, it was the right decision, and it may not be the right decision for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about like where you are in your career and what you want to get out of your MBA. Some people want it as confidence builders. Some people want it to switch their careers, to help them get a little bit more educated on business. Or some people do it simply because you know, they want that salary bump. So just to really think about, like, don't get your MBA just because you feel like it's the
next
logical
thing to do,
next
right?
step.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be, like, it's not the only way. For me, it was absolutely the best thing and the right thing that I could have done for myself. But just really think through, why do you want to get an MBA? And I know a lot of folks say this while you're, like, working on your application, but really think about your story and why your MBA is going to help you and what it's going to do for you, and specifically the school that you're looking at,
because it's
a huge investment. And if you're not going for the right reasons, it's 2 years in your career that you're essentially taking off. And if it's not for the right reasons, then you could have spent those 2 years doing something else that might have been more helpful. So just really think through, you know, why you're going and what it's going to do for you and if it's really the right choice.
Awesome. Well, thank you both so much for sharing. I know you are both going to be superstars, so we're definitely going to like keep our eye out for both of you. But I just really appreciate it. I think it's awesome to hear from people who were like just got out of, you know, school. And, you know, I think it's such a great sort of time in your life. And I'm just super excited for both of you. I literally remember the day that I graduated with my MBA. I think it was kind of shock and awe. I was super surprised that I had actually finished it because I was working while I was getting my MBA. So I was going to school at night and doing all sorts of projects and working with teams and all that good stuff that people don't really like to do, but certainly teaches a lot about yourself. And I just remember the feeling of opportunity, of, you know, ideas sort of flooding into my head in a way that they never had before. And it was actually in one of my very last classes getting my MBA that somebody said to me, you know what, You actually remind me of Susie Orman, and I'm not a huge Susie Orman fan. I will actually admit that on the podcast. There are some things that we definitely disagree with. Is she amazing, a businesswoman for creating opportunity? Absolutely. I will give that to her hands down. But I remember somebody saying that to me, and it's actually stuck with me over the years because back then I wasn't necessarily thinking about this type of career. I had sort of different aspirations in mind. And it really, I think, unlocked my thinking and unlocked me thinking about things differently and thinking about my career path differently. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're interested in getting an MBA and you're female, definitely check out the Forte Foundation. They have amazing resources. I have all the links in the show notes. Go back and listen to the other podcasts if you haven't listened this week, because there are lots of different women sharing their path, their journey, and how the MBA has really helped, you know, forge a career for them that they would not have had these opportunities without. As always, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Shauna Game. And hey, if you like this podcast, do me a favor, share it with your friends, tag Millennial Money Podcast, and head on over to iTunes and leave us a review.